The following is a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. Hollywood, redefined. From Los Angeles, California, streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is Black Hollywood Live, The Beat. Featuring the week's roundup and commentary on music news. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood, redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host of Black Hollywood Live, The Beat.
Yo, what's good? What's good? Welcome to The Beat. Cameron Petty, I'm your host. We're doing something different today. We're going to have the Throwback Thursday video countdown. It's going to be hosted by me, Cameron Petty, where I'm going to take you down memory lane, give you the classics, some records from back then, but are still relevant in today's time. And as always, like on The Beat, we have a guest. And on Throwback Thursday video countdown, we're going to have a guest. And today is such an honor. I can't even believe I'm sitting here. I don't know who pulled this off, but kudos to you for bringing in seasoned music veteran, consultant, A&R, all-around good role model, Miss Jennifer Horton. How you doing?
Wow, thank you. We had to go there with role model, too.
I mean, listen, you representing for the ladies out there.
That's
you coming
true.
There with some pants, like, looking good, too.
That
like,
is
oh,
true.
Wow. So, still got the sex appeal, but she didn't already shut me down already before we even started taping. I said something to her. She's like, let's get through this done. Anyway, so we good. Throwback Thursday. So, what we going to do is, I'm going to go some videos from back in the day, get some facts about it, and I ask you a question around it.
All right, okay. Let's do it.
All right, so let's do it. Number five video that I'm bringing up. It's the holiday season. Thanksgiving was a few weeks ago. We're getting ready for Christmas, and everybody's eating greens, cornbread, looking real good. But what's going to happen at the top of the year? Everybody going to want to get physically fit. So around my 12th Christmas birthday, my parents had brought me a Walkman set, and the only radio station I can get played this one song, and it was this right here. Olivia Newton-John, Physical. You remember this record?
Wow.
1981. It was number one on the charts for 10 weeks. Now, this was a very sexual record in 1981. And she pushed the envelope. And remember, she was just coming off the Grease fame. Everybody remember her as Sandy in Grease. So now she's coming to a sexual record talking about let's get physical. Give it to me one more time. You remember this record?
This is epic. Yeah, no, definitely super iconic 80s right now. Like, what?
Pop, right? She got, like, shot it in the mall. The video was shot in the mall somewhere.
The frosty hair, the frosty makeup. Everything was frosty. I don't know. Oh, not the leg lift, the side leg lift.
Here it goes.
See, she was on her multimedia branding by incorporating her fitness routine into the music video.
Exactly. In the 80s was really when the aerobic boom and Jane Fonda and all that really kind of kicked off. So this was 1981. This was her biggest record in the States, even though she was born in Australia. And that's number five, Olivia Newton-John with Physical. And now my question for you is, being so busy, being traveling all the time, how do you find it to keep yourself physically fit?
Ooh, you know what? I got a couple
of... 'Cause you looking right in them jeans. I ain't gonna front about that, Miss Jennifer Horton.
Well, thank you so much. Some of it's good jeans. Shout out, you know, Mom. But, and Dad. But, yeah, I definitely have a couple different reasons. I mean, ways that I do it. If I do the morning, just kind of jog in the neighborhood, or if I can get to a class, that's more rare. But I do like to do classes because it kind of, like, turns you up to be other people. Everybody's sweating together. You know what I mean? So I had a Taibo phase back in the day, you know. But more recently, I actually do yoga now, too.
Oh,
I really like that. It's very zen at the end of my craziness, as long as I can just not answer the phone for, like, that 50 minutes.
And how do you manage your diet?
Ooh, diet. Starbucks chai latte is pretty much breakfast. And no, I actually enjoy eating out. It's one of the things that I can have think time. I like to go to a nice restaurant, and you know, I eat by myself sometimes, actually a fair amount, because I eat on the breaks when I have something in between a meeting. So I like to sit there. I got my notebook. I like to go over my to-do list and return emails. And so I do have a good meal out, like, every night. So pretty much, yeah, I don't cook.
So you ready for 2016?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so let's get ready for our number four record. Now, as a growing up, Rap City, hip-hop really, you know, it really was a major influence on me. And our number four record is from the great one, KRS-One, Love's Gonna Get Ya. Now, this album, this song was off the album Edutainment, which came out in 1990, and it's about material love. you know, you putting material possessions in front of your own value, how can get you caught up in the end? Because a lot of people out this is classic hip hop storytelling from a lyrical technician who is definitely one of the top five alive. I don't understand why he's never been debated. Would you put him in the top five? Lyrical. I ain't talking about album sales or.
Right.
I'm talking about just straight lyrical artist storytelling.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think this is a certain era. I think I actually was. You know, he was in a group before this. There was a
BDP. Productions.
Right,
Scott
and then
LaRock.
The other guy like died
Scott
or something.
LaRock.
Okay, right.
Shot.
Yeah.
Nice the whole thing.
I was just like something. I think I might have been watching Music Choice. I like Music Choice because it has those pop up quotes
yes,
and things
I
like
love
that.
It too.
But you know, so this kind of just made me think about you. Just never know somebody's story. You know
yes.
what I mean? And then like even those rappers, I feel like we didn't know them all as well in terms of their. We weren't on Instagram. And this and that.
None
so
of that.
You got to study your craft.
Yes.
That is one thing that people forget in this whole generation,
and
you know.
I feel that's why people like Drake succeed over the Meeks because Drake is a student of the game.
Oh, he took it straight to the Drake versus Meeks.
I mean,
battle.
That's why, you know, even though if it wasn't face to face, okay, that's different. That's next show. That's next show. So, my question for you is you work so close and build so many relationships with so many artists. How do you find the time? Well, how do you separate the business from the personal when you have to make a business decision and you know you're so close with this person?
Oh man, you know what? I don't think that's ever really that hard. I feel like if you have someone's best interest, you have their best interest, whether it's business or personal.
Well, they don't take it like that. They like, come on, you know, how do you handle that when they really want to throw the friend mode on you?
I think people just know what it is. I mean, I think if you don't, you know, kind of approach things in a way where you treat certain situations differently, then it is just always going to be the same answer.
Right.
It's always going to be the same approach. So, you know, I think that you have to definitely relationships and friendships to me are two different things. I think friends are people who actually care when you're sick or something happens to your pet. You know, I
right,
think relationships
right.
are built on, you know, what has our honesty been and trust and, you know, over the years in business, meaning did we execute? Did we follow through?
Right.
And look, if someone's come through multiple times, then you're going to give them that pass. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's not because you're friends, if that makes sense. It's because
right.
you've built up kind of a rapport to where you say, you know what, I'm going to cut you some slack here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna, you know, make this concession. So I think that's an important part of it because that's how you move forward in the game is you know who you can trust, you know who your allies are, and you know who you can do good business with. Because it's a lot of people out there that will just waste
sure.
your time, and it
I'm
doesn't
sure.
matter how friendly you thought you were. If
mm-hmm.
the business is a waste of time, it's a waste of time.
All right, so keep business first.
Yeah.
All right, our number three throwback record is something I know you got a lot to do about. The Rejects.
I already see it. I already know.
The Rejects, Cap Daddy, 2011. I was a radio personality in Youngstown, Ohio at the time, and I remember it coming in and we played it, and I played it all the skating parties for the kids. Like, loved it a lot. How did this record kind of change your career?
Oh my goodness. This video personally just makes me so happy. It was such a fun day. And I could just watch it 100,000 times, which I already have. But it was so organic, man. I just remember, you know, we got down to Venice Beach that day. And, you know, I was talking on the phone back and forth to Chris and his friend, like, okay, are y'all coming for Sherman?
Right.
I got these camera guys. And actually, the Rejects and Chris, we were all, you know, connected
yeah.
and everyone was friendly. But it was our mutual friend, Miho, who's also
right.
been a client and friend of mine for a long time. He connected everything that day because
mm-hmm.
I was like, Miho, and I called him out by the government name, too.
Uh-oh.
I was like, I am down here at this beach. I was like, are we shooting this or not? And he was like, no, we're on the way. Because you know how people be when they're
right.
on the way forever.
Yeah, sure. I'm
but,
in traffic.
I mean, literally, it was the perfect time of day. Chris, we were already out there kind of getting a feel for how we were going to, like, scope out the scene. He got there, though, and they just literally all clicked
natural.
Up like that. Went right down the boulevard. We did it all in, like, one take, and just people started piling on, just
right.
fans, random people, tourists. Like, you know, it was really just a magical moment. And so that's when, you know, when it all got edited and we saw the finished product, it just looked exactly how
right.
it felt. And I feel like that's why everybody felt it, you know. And
one of the things I remember about that video, this is when YouTube and Twitter was kind of really, you know, really starting to take off.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate Upton. does a video of the Cap Daddy, and it's like a million views in a day. How did that kind of change your thought process on how to promote a record with using social media?
Yeah, she shut down the internet that day, actually. So she, because remember they like restricted it.
Yeah, they wouldn't let it, they thought it was too sexual. Then she had to go on Jimmy Fallon with all the clothes.
Right, but then they put the video back on. Yes. So yeah, that was, I mean, I think her video even still, it went up and up and up in views. So, I mean, I think that it's funny because the social media approaches shift every couple of years because like right now the most prominent thing is Snapchat. So it's about, you know, how would you integrate what you're doing through Snapchat? But yeah, I do agree. At that time, I remember there was a couple of things social media wise that really the Rejects took this viral phenomenon ultimately made the career out of it. Not only Kate Upton came along later, but I remember one morning I woke up to Kanye West having tweeted the video and he was like, this is so fresh. I just watched this 10 times. And that was when people were really still checking for what people tweeted because people didn't tweet, you know, a lot, especially somebody like them. Okay, what are they posting on their page? Right. And, you know, I'm like the day one Kanye fan, like had the actual bootleg mixtape when I lived in New York, like the I'm Good with Jesus Walks and everything. So I'm like, oh my God, you know, but it was like that set it off in a whole different way. And we just had so many people. It was like a genuine support. And obviously the Rejects were new, but everyone was supporting Chris at that time because that was a time where he was coming out of things that people wanted to see him having fun and doing what they love to see Chris do too. And, you know, the Rejects, they had all known each other. They had all done videos and stuff before for Chris. And, you know, so it was an organic moment. And I think that in that regard, I think it worked to have a viral campaign. But I think, you know, you see a lot of people, they try to create things and force it.
Organic
and,
it should be.
Yeah. And I think that it's not going to work every time because you got to find, what's authentic and capitalize kind of off of that. Otherwise, people feel like, I'm being marketed to. No.
Right. You don't want to force it down their throat.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So our number two throwback video of the day, you know, with it being Christmas time and, you know, so many issues in the world with ISIS overseas and the attacks on Paris and things that we have to, they closed down all the schools in L.A. a couple of days ago. So we're on a kind of attack over here. So our number two record is The War Is Over by John Lennon. Merry Christmas. Now, this was a classic record, came out in 1971. It was written by John and Yoko Ono to protest the war in Vietnam.
I didn't even know there was a video for it, to be honest. It's 1971 was like early MTV, wasn't it?
Well, even TV didn't come out to 80, but I don't think anybody in here was alive, so I must leave it there. I don't know, but yeah. Yeah, so 1971, it was written to protest a song. It's a Christmas standard. It's one of my favorite Christmas songs of all time because it speaks to political and, you know, just puts you in the mood with the Christmas. It was actually sang by the Harlem Choir.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because, you know, John was a big guy in New York. So what are some of your favorite Christmas songs?
Oh, favorite Christmas songs. You know what? I feel like I have the same, like, corny happy CDs that I just listen to every year. And like actual, like it'll be like the CD. Like if I'm home, you know, in Houston, we have like the Frank Sinatra one.
Yes.
We have actually, and then that's cool because he just had his 100-year.
He would have been 100 years old. It's not old.
I kind of like just the old school, like the crooners, because it makes me feel like, you know, chestnuts roasting.
Yes, Bing Crosby and all that.
Bing, that's my mom's favorite. Yeah. Yes. So.
And let me ask you this question. You know, with you having such a busy life, how do you find peace? How do you meditate?
Oh, I like to read a lot. That kind of puts me in a reflective place sometimes because I'm, you know, able to just be quiet and just, but also I like to be, you know, always keep my wheels turning. But, you know, I guess I definitely like to get out in nature. That's one thing I do love about LA is that being able to just take a quick drive sometimes through the mountains, even if that's all the time you have, like, let me take the long way and just kind of vibe out, put some music on, or, you know, like I said, I do like yoga. That's something I'm kind of learning to get into that zone as well. But, you know, I definitely like to find my alone time to kind of, it's very important. Keeps you centered and focused and knowing what you're about every morning, every day, you know, how did I move forward today? Right. So.
Okay, well, it brings us down to our last video of the day on the Throwback Thursday video countdown. And since this is our first show, I had to go with Time Magazine gave it the number one hip hop record of all time. It's Grandmaster Flash. The Furious Five, and The Message. Hey. 1982. Now, this is one of those records that catapulted MCs from just being hype men mm-hmm. to the front of the stage and, you know, kind of placing the DJ behind. Like I said, it was Rolling Stone's like 51 greatest of all the songs going on. Their number one hip-hop record, lyrical, social commentary. This is what kind of hip-hop means to me. You know what I mean? When you're actually speaking where you can actually awaken minds and, you know, challenge people to challenge the system or the people that are standing against them, what they put on their neck. Sorry, I had a personal situation with someone. Let me try to keep this for a while. So this is 1982, Grandmaster Flash for Furious 5. You know, P. Diddy actually took the sample and in the 90s when him and Mace Can't Hold Me Down. So this is a big record.
Right here. For sure.
So my question would be to you is, you work with tons of artists. How much should you challenge them to keep a message in their record and to challenge, you know, those who oppose them or the system? Or like Chris Brown is zero. We'll talk about that after this, but mm-hmm. just working with artists, you know, how important is it to have a message in the music?
I think it's got to come from them. Again, I think it kind of goes back to the organic thing, you know, because I think that people, it has to be consistent within your life. If you make a song about something, but then you're not active in any way in your life, I mean, I think that's a big disconnect that, again, people feel like, is this who you are, or was this something that you did because it was timely? And I think that we're just in an era now where you see everyone's life is constantly playing out on Instagram, you know? So I think even if you take someone like Diddy, like I like to follow him on Instagram because all of his ventures are consistent. It's all about, you know, go forward. You can do it one more day. Stay motivated. Definitely. You know, don't let them hold you down, etc. And, you know, if someone doesn't kind of live their life by that, then, you know, it's not really going to be a powerful message. I think someone else that's come out with as a message-driven artist is Kendrick, you know.
Yes,
but
definitely.
He's also someone that he's been very consistent with that. It wasn't a gimmick. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and in his actions, at least, obviously everyone's entitled to have a personal life that we don't see. But in what they give to the public eye, you know, that there's a consistency there, you know, and a genuineness there. So I think when you can find that, like, that's amazing. But it really has to come from within. So when you say me as a manager, let's say, it's kind of like, I can't create that for you, but if you come to me with that, I will help you guide the directions that you're able to take that to the highest level possible and reach the most people, you know?
Okay, so that concludes our 5 throwback videos. Now it's time to get down to the real dirt with Miss Jen Horton. How you doing, Jen? I'm camera.
Oh, it just became a different show, guys. Different show.
I'm camera. Different How you doing, Jennifer Horton?
I'm great. How are you doing?
So you're born in Texas, correct?
Correct.
And what was your journey that got you to LA?
Oh my goodness, my journey. Well, my journey first took me to New York for college. I was there grinding it out in Manhattan and then thought, you know, I need to do something different for a summer. Ended up coming to LA for a summer. Landed an internship at a talent agency. And just kind of opened up a whole new world to me, actually. I didn't know anything about entertainment as a business. I didn't really understand what all the moving parts were or even what the possible, you know, roles were to be. And so I ended up just kind of taking that summer back with me to New York and thinking, you know, that kind of really opened my eyes to a lot of things. I like that. And so then I thought, well, let me go back there, you know, maybe for a year, figure it out. And boom, I never left. So I've been here. And
so what was your first big opportunity or where you was able to go from intern to, hey, I'm somebody who's going to be a force in the music business?
Oh, well, there was a few steps before I was from an intern to a force.
I'm just keeping I'm just keeping in the movie. I'm just trying to go step that separated you.
Oh, man. You know, I think that, oh, this is a tricky one. One of the first things I would say early in my career, this is not how I became a force, but it was a time that I proved to myself that I could take an idea and kind of execute it, was I was working at a talent agency, and this was during the time that the Atlanta market was really starting to blow up, when you had kind of like the Little John whole movement, and Usher came back out with
04, 05.
Right, and then you had Ciara, and I was a big fan of Ciara, and I was just like, wow, what is this whole thing that's going on down there, you know? And I saw what was happening. I saw actually the videos because I used to sit in my office and have the TV, you know, right behind me. So all day long, videos, back when they played videos, you know. So thank God for you guys. Someone else is playing videos now. But anyway, that inspired me to say, you know, well, let me see what's going on. Who are the movers and shakers in Atlanta? I went to some of my music contacts that I had just met, and I was still relatively, you know, new. This was like 2 years into me working in the business. And I said, what if I wanted to go to Atlanta? Like, who are the people I should talk to? So maybe one or two people kind of gave me like a random lead, but then you know how that is. You call them and then they aren't available. So then you try to reach. Anyway, long story short, I just flew out there. I told my boss what I wanted to do, and he was like, I don't get it. Atlanta, that's not like an entertainment market. You know, it's not something we should be, you know, spending money on. Right, because actually when I did that, it spawned a whole, you know, kind of flurry of our other competitor agencies went down. They did the same thing we did, which was I opened a division in Atlanta. So we were actually the first talent agency to come in to be able to kind of be a link between Atlanta and LA. And that was kind of an entrepreneurial moment for me because I ended up believing in my idea so much that I told my boss I was going to buy my own ticket, you know. And so I went down there. And that's actually how I met some of the artists that I then went on to work with. So it was a lot of people who were coming up at that time that are now doing what they're doing now. So
now you're a beautiful woman. You hang with other attractive females in this male-dominated business. So how have you learned to how Sierra, quote Sierra, not my goodies?
I mean, part of it you don't have to learn. It's just who you are as a person. You know what I mean? It's like,
'cause I've seen some girls who they get, never mind, they get flown and blown and then sent back home.
Wow. That was descriptive. I mean, but it's what did they set out to do? If that's what they wanted to do, I hope they had a good time. You know what I mean?
But to the girl out there who wants to be in the music business, but is so, her DM is popping, you know, but I just want to take me serious. How can you, I mean, you just, you know, you get what I'm saying. Just,
yeah, of course. I just always think it's, yeah, I always think it's so many ways to answer that question because I think a lot of the people who ask, you know, sort of how to make it to do this or that, they don't really want to do what that entails because they don't really know what it entails because it's so much more than taking pictures with celebrities, you know. I mean, there's so much, like everyone always says, the unglamorous part of the job, but it's like people still never believe you that it's like, no, you put yourself last, really. I mean, for, you know, all the years that I have represented clients, the reason that, you know, they're able to trust me, especially when you're a manager or an agent, you're dealing with people's money, which is how they feed their kids. You know what I mean? This is not something that you can take lightly and you can afford to be caught slipping because you were over there trying to get free drinks at the release party or whatever.
Just getting
the
VIP,
You know, so I think that it's like you have to take the job seriously at first before, you know,
for
you
them
can
to take
figure
you serious.
Out. Right, because you have to understand what are you actually taking on? And you're taking on more than just, okay, I'm going to run around with you. It's like I'm helping you build your career. And ultimately that career is there to have them survive for not just this year, but in 10 years, you know. So I think, but I mean, we could get into all the do's and don'ts.
But just be your own self, have your own identity.
And do the work. And do the work, honestly, for a long time before you expect to get all the glory and credit. And I don't even know who half of these people are. Shout out to all the people on Instagram that are in the studio, that are like here and there that I work with. So, you got artists in your bio. Like, where's your website at? Like, where's your company at? Like, so people need to be willing to do the work and then get the whatever later.
Okay, so you work with Chris Brown. Royalties coming out. Your placements was zero. Congratulations.
Yeah,
great
thank
record.
You.
Talk about Royalty and we can get ready to wrap it up.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited about this album. So Zero is actually a record that Miho, who I mentioned earlier, we kind of teamed up to say, hey, how do we, you know, look for some amazing material to take Chris into this next chapter? And that was actually, that song was recorded a year ago Thanksgiving. So that's how long, you know, the process, as you know, has been.
Great record, man.
Yeah. So
that
kind of set it
zero
all off.
Bucks.
Yes. That set it all off, and then we've got five other records that between myself and Miho we, you know, brought in. And but I mean, we got Anyway that just dropped, and with a video, which is an amazing epic dance video. That was kind of the concept for this whole thing, is like feel good, but also just that performance again that people love to see, that larger than life performance.
And it was
Chris.
Such a meaning behind that song with the whole Karrueche, and you could take it how you want to take it. So this is Jennifer Horton. Tell them how everybody can get a hold of you for consulting or whatever it is you want. You know, she has a beautiful Instagram page. page. So,
let oh my goodness, y'all yep. Instagram is Jennifer JRH. Those are my initials, and my company is Matrix Artists. So you can Google us.
All right, and this is Cameron Penny for the Beats Throwback Thursday video countdown. Make sure you hit us up on BHL_TheBeat. Leave a video. It might be out here next week. Thank you again to Jennifer.
Thank you.
We'll see you then. Peace.
All right.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.